It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Ready for today's game with the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
A complete look around the NFL and especially our Falcons.
Let's go out there and compete. Let's focus in on what our job is and do our job.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is presented by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and is brought to you in part by Hatfield Pork Products, the W Sauce, and Shake Shack.
This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
On the home for our Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's John Fricke and Joe Patrick.
Do you smell that? Yeah, it smells like hate week. Because it is hate week. Can these Falcons kick these dogs while they're down, take another huge step towards winning the NFC South? It is a Falcons game day, and welcome to our coverage here on 92.9 The Game and the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network. Wade Ford Tailgate Show kicks you off here at the 9 a.m. hour. John Fricke and Joe Patrick. Of course, Joe's our Falcons insider and reporter. All right, Joe, here it is. It's game day. Let's go. Because now, Joe, now these Falcons can put a hurt on everybody in the NFC South.
Yeah, they can. And, John, I know that this is one you've been looking forward to for a while because this team – well, I mean, I guess they've already played here, at Mercedes-Benz Stadium where the Falcons were the victors. But I have to feel like there's something else on the players' minds in this game when they go down to the Superdome after the way that the one – played last year there ended. I mean, that's going to add some extra juice to this game. And you're right, I think this Falcons team's got to be full of confidence and feeling like they not only can beat anybody, but in this particular matchup should be winning this game just because of the level they've been playing at. And I think that some of the improvements that we're seeing in front of our eyes here over the last few weeks, but got to go down there and prove it. And you got to be ready for everything because a team playing their first game under an interim head coach, down a bunch of pieces, it's going to be like a caged animal that can jump up and bite you. So the Falcons got to be ready for that. But certainly you would think that they're going to go into this game with a ton of confidence.
Yeah, we're going to get into all of that, all the changes down in the swamp, and we'll get into all the what's and wherefores here. But I saw this week, Joe, on the interwebs there, on the socials, that somebody, one of my people that follows me quite a bit, says, you know, the only problem with the game is, you know, how fired up are the Falcons going to be because there's not a lot on the line. And I thought, what did he say? Brother, I love you, but you're not paying attention. You got a rivalry, right, and a chance to go 2-0 and complete the season unbeaten. That alone is, you know, when we say 2-0 is an unbeaten season, some fans say, huh? What? All right, you don't get it.
right.
You put more pressure on Tampa to begin to close out the race in the South because you win and the Bucs lose. You know, you could go into the bye week, Joe, in incredible position here. You got a shot to gain ground in the start to focus, too. You win today, I think you could turn your attention to can we catch the Lions for the number one seed. And then finally, Joe, remember, where is the Super Bowl going to be played this year?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You know, maybe this is the first of two trips down there.
Yeah, yeah. The Super Bowl will be played exactly where the Falcons are going to be playing at 1 o'clock today. So, yeah, there could be a little bit of an appetizer, hopefully, of something to come. But you're right. You know, this team, their mantra this entire year has been outrun the South, outrun the NFC South. And I've asked a bunch of players about that and the coach as well. And, you know, I think that, you know, everybody takes it a little bit differently when, you know, there's kind of a buzzword or buzz phrase that gets spouted by a coach at the beginning of a year during the offseason. But I think the way that these players are taking it is that, you know, just one game at a time, it's like we're running a race and we're not looking over our shoulder. We're just going to keep trucking, keep pushing forward in every week that comes, every game that comes, every opponent that comes. And this one's no different, obviously. But I think, again, like we said, there's going to be extra juice in this game because of the way that things ended up last year. And I think it would be a feather in this team's cap to really kind of stamp this season with possibly an undefeated record in the division, which is something that I don't believe this Falcons team has ever done, at least since the NFC South was created. And what a testament that would be to Raheem Morris, Kirk Cousins, Terry Fontenot, really the entire vision of what this Falcons team has been really for the past few years, and then obviously what it could culminate in this season. But, you know, in order to do that, you got to win this one. It's a big game.
Yeah, unless the last game of the year is for first in the NFC South, going unbeaten may be difficult because you're going to play Carolina. John, true. Carolina's no good. Yeah, but you're going to be playing. If you're locked in, you may be playing like, you know, who's on the practice squad that can play today? Yeah, you know.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You know, so anyway.
Hey, we would take being in that position for sure.
No kidding. That's for sure. It is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. We're taking you, Joe and I, to 11 o'clock this morning. Chris Goforth, Mike Johnson on the pregame show on the network. Then down to the Salad Bowl in the Swamp. And, of course, Wes and Dave on the call of the game, Falcons and the Saints. All right, Joe, by the numbers here, the Falcons have won five of their last six. As you mentioned, they're 6-3, alone in first in the NFC South. They are two games up, but really they're three games up. And I had to explain this to people again this week. They're three games ahead because Tampa does not win the division unless Tampa wins it outright, and Falcons own all the tiebreakers. You mentioned Falcons are 4-0 in the division. They are tied, Joe, with the Lions and Chiefs as the only three teams in the NFL without a loss in the division. They are the number three seed at the moment in the NFC. They're 6-1 in the NFC. They're tied with the Lions for the most conference wins in the entire NFL, more than the Chiefs. They win today and Washington loses. Falcons move to number two. They can still catch Detroit for number one. And by the way, Falcons unbeaten on the road, tied again with the Lions and Chiefs as the only teams in the NFL that have not lost on the road. Mm. And as you mentioned, you go into week 10 having not lost a game on the road because this whole go into your trap, take your trap from Kirk Cousins has become a thing.
Yeah. Who would have thought? Who would have thought we'd be saying that here in week 10 on the radio, that a quote from Kirk Cousins, no less. So, yeah, it's kind of funny. But it is amazing to see this Falcons team undefeated on the road so far this season. The last couple of years, really since I've been covering this team, you know, for the radio station, they've really, really struggled on the road. And part of that is, you know, hard to win on the road when you don't have certainty at the quarterback position and don't have, a high performer at the quarterback position. But it's also, I think there's a renewed mentality and confidence with this team. And like you said, like that catchphrase, but it's true. I mean, I think that the players have bought into that mentality. And I think they start to feel a certain kind of confidence when they go on the road. I think they even get a certain kind of excitement about playing on the road and in front of hostile fans. And just knowing that that's a different environment for this team. But they've got the playmakers, and, you know, something that you can't say enough is the way that Kirk Cousins has this offense operating. You know, there's a lot going on in Zach Robinson's offense with all the motions and everything, and to take that operation onto the road and have it perform the way that it has so far this year, I don't know if that's something anybody could have anticipated at the start of the year, but it certainly is a sight for sore eyes for Atlanta Falcons fans who have not been able to see their team perform, especially offensively, so well in many years. So it's great, and hopefully they can just continue that trend today and move forward toward that division championship. And like you said, you know, who knows how high they could finish in the NFC South if they're able to continue the way that they're playing on the field, because we mentioned this last week, but that Detroit Lions team hasn't really gotten into, you know, some of the meat of their schedule, especially in the division where you have these really tough competitive games. Obviously, they had a big one last week that they came away with against the Packers. And, you know, I certainly expect the Lions to be, they are the favorites to have the number one seed in that NFC, but you never know. So the Falcons just kind of had to keep their head down and keep pushing for those wins.
Yeah, if you start comparing yourself to the Lions, that's a pretty good thing.
Yeah,
yeah. Oh, the Lions are better than us. You mean that's the only team? Okay, I'll go with that. Parts of the Wade Ford Tailgate Show are brought to you by Ticketmaster. Ticketmaster is the official ticket marketplace of the Falcons in the NFL. John with Joe here, and we got so much to break down here over the next couple hours before we get you to the network coverage today. Just a couple of thoughts here, Joe. And again, we can get into, because there's all in the next segment, we've got Raheem talking about a lot of it, but just kind of broadly on a couple of points. Back on September the 15th, I want you to go into the Joe goes back mode, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Back on September the 15th, okay, which is almost 2 months ago here, the Braves lost at home to the Dodgers that day. They were still in the playoff hunt, and I was looking at some notes from back then. There were seven games to go, and we were talking about, okay, they've got to do this. All right, seven games to go, and the Braves are still in the playoff hunt, right? Yeah. That was also the same day the Saints won their last game.
Ooh, wow. Wow. Yeah, that's incredible.
Oh, wow.
That's great. I know you must have had just a big smile when you saw that stat. I mean,
yes. I'll tell you this. Look, I'm more happy about the Falcons being where they are
right.
than the Saints being where they are. You know, I mean, if the Falcons were 3-6, then I'd be laughing at the Saints more than I am. But since the Falcons are 6-3, I'm looking at them kind of going, See, here's the other thing too. You know, kind of broadly on the Saints, which, yeah, I know I use their nickname, is that you read their I do it so you don't have to. You go and read their socials and their blogs, and they are frightened that next year's going to be worse.
Yeah, yeah, which that tells you a lot. I mean, this Saints team is they are stuck right now between a rock and a hard place in terms of what they're going to be able to do with their roster. They've just have kicked the can down the road on so many bad contracts over the years that they're just stuck. John, they're $72 million over the cap going into the offseason. That is before they've made a signing. They basically have to cut $72 million worth of contracts, or actually more than that, just so they can sign their draft class.
Yeah, that would get
them class.
To zero.
Right. And you got to create some space to sign your draft class. So you're realistically looking at more like cutting basically about $100 million of cap. So, assuming you're going to sign one or two free agents just to fill in some gaps. So they are in an unbelievably terrible position. And I'm just looking at some of their results, John. Like you said, them not having won seven straight games. They've given up 26 points or more in all seven of their losses. In six of their last six games. In their last six games, they've given up 26 or more points, except for one game, which was last week against Carolina, where they only gave up 23. So this is a team that this offense should be able to go after, and they're even short even more pieces now this week after they traded Marshawn Lattimore at the trade deadline. So, yeah, not looking good for the Saints in the immediate term, despite their record-breaking first couple weeks where they got a couple wins. And in the future, it's not looking so hot for them either.
Yeah, I'm kind of like back of the hand with the Saints right now because, the Swampers to me, obviously I want to win the game. I want to have it over. But their fans are so quiet because you can't have any fun dogging them because they're just they quit Twitter. I mean, it's like, so you can't really go after them.
Right.
And they know that, this is so awful here. This to me, my whole attention and focus after last week changed. And it is hate week. Don't make no mistake about it. If we lost this game today somehow, and they could, we all know that. It's the NFL.
Sure.
I'd be really mad, but I wouldn't be really mad so much about losing to the Swampers. I'd be really mad about how it affects their ability to close out the NFC South early. And my attention again, Joe, turned towards, hey, we got Washington head up, and that's where Lattimore is now. Isn't that interesting? We got Dan Quinn on our schedule in the second half of the season here. That might be for the number two seed, even if the Lions run away with the number one seed. And who knows, maybe the Lions run into some trouble. And my whole thing went to, I'm not going to tell you that the NFC South is over, but it's so close to being over that, like I say, you win this game, you beat Denver. By the time you get to the bye week, I think the NFC South is over. Over.
Yeah, yeah.
And so at that point, you got five games to go, and your full attention goes to, can we beat teams like the Bears and the Chargers and the Giants and the Commanders and the Panthers, the five teams you have left, and say, can we go 4-1 against those guys, catch Detroit, and be the number one seed and get a bye?
Yeah, it's really weird. You don't. It just sounds odd to be talking about the division potentially being over after, or wrapped up essentially after, week 10 if the Falcons are able to get this win, but it's twofold. One, the Falcons are undefeated in their division, so they've beaten everybody. But also, we've talked about it, you know, the schedule is so front-loaded with all their division games. The Falcons are basically through the whole thing after this week, or for most of it, obviously. They, like you said, they've got that Panthers game in the final game of the season.
You've got to get the Panthers at the end of the year, right?
But you know, the entire schedule has been played, and it's going to be extremely difficult for the Bucs to crawl themselves back into contention.
Yeah, if not impossible.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, if not
impossible. Realistically.
And this is what
impossible.
We talked about. This is what you and I talked about before the season began when we looked at the schedule, Joe. We said, look, what's really important, the Steelers game and the Chiefs game are nice, but they're not that important. What's important is the Philly game. What's important is, you know, weeks 4, 5, and 6 in the conference games. Because if you win those, you put yourself in a position where nobody can. Well, look at what has happened. Look at what has happened.
You love
exactly
to see it.
That. Yep. It is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. John Fricke, Joe Patrick taking you to 11 o'clock, a 1 o'clock kick today in New Orleans. When we get back in a moment, the Falcons didn't make a trade at the trade deadline. Why? I'm going to ask that of Joe and discuss a little bit about all those changes down in New Orleans. All right? We'll do that. Counting down to the Falcons and Saints kick at 1 today on your home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Make sure that they know that we're going to line back up or you're going to have to beat me again.
Getting you ready for today's game.
This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. The Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is presented by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and is brought to you in part by Hatfield Pork Products, the W Sauce, and Shake Shack.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Atlanta leading 7-3. Prescott the snap from the gun. Pump to the left. Now back in the middle of the field and down he goes. Arnold Ebiketie, take a bow.
You know, nothing went down yesterday, and it's exactly what it is. But you can't forget how much you like the people you have. Like, all of a sudden, overnight, I didn't stop liking my guys.
Right.
I love my guys. And, like, I love the fact of who we have. I love what we have. And I love what we can even get better, right? Like, we got people that's not playing at the level that we're going to get them to play at, and I can't wait till it happens.
Well, it's got to happen now here, Raheem. That's Raheem Morris, head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, talking about the fact that he loves his guys, and they did not make a move at the trade deadline when every Falcons fan thought they might. They did have 3 sacks against Dak Prescott, and, of course, they tend to do that a lot against the Cowboys. It's just a trend. But even with those 3 sacks, the Falcons remained dead last in the NFL in sacks for the season, even though they had half their yearly total in one game in that win over Dallas last week. And welcome back to the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. John Fricke along with our Falcons insider, Joe Patrick. The decision this week by Terry Fontenot and Raheem, just Joe generally in Flowery Branch. Raheem was on that, obviously on that sound cut saying, that, you know, we really like the guys we have. We just got to get them to play better, basically. And I'm like, okay. But the Falcons, you know, trying to balance, you know, who they could get and the cost of what it would be to get them. I guess that's the only thing they can say if they weren't able to make a move that would dramatically improve the team on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, and you know, this is a this is an interesting conversation to have. You know, I think there's a lot of conflation that happens among fans talking about this, especially on social media, when people are just, you know, outraged because they wanted a player to come in. When they say, you know, I often see, you know, the Falcons didn't think that they needed, you know, help in the pass rush, and I think that that's actually true, but it's worth distinguishing the difference between needing something and wanting something. I think they wanted additional pass rush help, but ultimately, did they need it? Probably not. No. And unfortunately, the reason why the team wasn't able to make a deal and get in a player that they wanted, that they would have wanted, is because they just didn't have the trade capital required to create matching value to make a trade with a team. And it comes back down to the draft picks that this Falcons team does not have. They had their fifth round pick stripped from the sanctions regarding the tampering allegations, or the tampering that was found by the NFL earlier this offseason. And then also, you already traded away your third round pick for Matthew Judon. That one didn't even work out so well. So that, I think that should be kind of an omen for, you know, buyer beware of trying to just trade your picks for instant help in certain areas. And then when you're without a third and a fifth, you're also without a sixth from the trade that the team made last year to acquire Van Jefferson. So they have multiple sevenths. But ultimately, what that does is it doesn't allow you as many pieces to bring together to, you know, offer a team for then a player. And it seems to me like that player was Aziz Ojulari from the Giants. When I saw his name kind of come across the wire saying that the Giants were going to hold on to him with, I think, about 30 minutes or an hour left in the trade deadline, I kind of figured that no deal was going to get done. But it's unfortunate because, you know, it's clearly a defense that needs help. And for as flowery as we were talking about this team in that first segment, there are clear deficiencies that they have to improve in the second half of the season on the defensive side of the football, and that they wanted to help address at the trade deadline. But ultimately, you know, they're going to have to stand pat and kind of focus on those guys, like Raheem said, that are within the building. And I actually agree with this sentiment that I genuinely think that there is more that they can get out of these players who are already on the roster, and just getting them some more opportunities and some opportunities to rush the passer.
Well, let's just look at last week. I mean, notwithstanding Dak's injury, until the end of the game where they suddenly got soft and Cooper Rush was able to move the ball on him and it got a little dicey and he had to recover an onside kick. Until that point, that Falcons defense had been sort of dominant against the Cowboys, partly because the Cowboys, you know, they obviously a little dinged up, you know, especially at the running back position. Their offensive line isn't great. But what we saw from the Falcons defense, especially with guys like Caden Ellis, was, I think we talked about this, Joe, was it a scheme thing? I felt that the Falcons defense, up until when they just got a little bit, you know, into prevent mode, which I hate.
Yeah.
I think up until then, they were much more aggressive than I've seen them at any point this year.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I think that Caden Ellis, that player that you mentioned, is a perfect example of that. I thought that they were more aggressive with him specifically in terms of bringing him. And he's such a good, just instinctive football player, instinctive linebacker, but also rushing the passer. I mean, I'm down on the field before every home game, and you can see him. He's always working on, you know, his pass rush moves in the warm-up, and it's something that he likes to do. It's something that he's proven that he's good at. It's frankly what his specialty was in New Orleans before the Falcons signed him as a free agent, was as a pass rushing linebacker. He was not necessarily just an outside linebacker. He was kind of playing all over. And the Falcons are the ones that really kind of solidified his role as an inside linebacker in the NFL in a base 3-4. But I saw the Falcons using Caden a lot more in that kind of mugged up look, and actually bringing him through either that A gap where he's lined up, or, you know, creating a stunt around him. But they were using him in a very creative ways, and that's it proved to be effective in that game. And I think that there's even other players. Arnold Ebiketie, obviously a guy that was mentioned by Raheem Morris there, and we heard him out of the break coming up with a sack. Yeah, I talked to him after the game. He seemed like he was feeling more confident. And I think that there's even more players. Zach Harrison is a guy who can give you some pressure from the interior at times. I think there's a lot of players on this team that have a lot more to give in the pass rush. And ultimately, I think when they get a little bit healthier, especially to see Troy Anderson, who we expect to play today, come back, you wonder if that can unlock some of these players, like Caden Ellis, to keep on rushing the passer more and more.
If you're looking at the socials, there are a lot of Falcons fans that were trying to do takeovers down in the French Quarter, down in Stinky Town. A lot of Falcons fans holding little mini Falcons parades down there. Let's talk a little bit about, on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, those Swampers here. What a week for them, because they've lost seven in a row. As mentioned, they haven't won a game since September the 15th. They fired their head coach, Dennis Allen, this week. A lot of people thought long overdue down there. I was sort of surprised they didn't fire him at the end of last season, but it took him nine games into this year to fire him. They replaced him with the special teams coordinator, Darren Rizzi. He will be the interim head coach, but they fired the head coach, and then after firing the head coach, they weren't done. This happened.
Breaking news just a few hours out from the NFL trade deadline. Marshon Lattimore has a new home. The four-time Pro Bowl cornerback being traded from the New Orleans Saints to the Washington Commanders, who for the first time in quite a while, Ian, are not sellers, wow, but buyers at the trade deadline.
Well, they're down, you know, at least one wideout that we know for sure. And then they gotten Taysom back is the biggest thing that you notice from an offensive standpoint. You know, Taysom's a big-time playmaker. He got hurt in our game, kind of cut him out, and the game kind of changed for us a little bit with the ability to be able to stop the run because he's certainly a problem. The receiver is definitely one of the more dynamic players in the game, both from a return standpoint and from a deep threat standpoint. And losing him for this season is definitely something that's going to be a problem.
Yeah, so he's talking about Chris Olave. Mm-hmm. So Chris Olave is out for this game. Marshon Lattimore was traded. Dennis Allen was fired. Boy, a lot of changes down there in New Orleans. I'm not saying they're waving the white flag, but folks down in New Orleans are going, well, if we've lost seven in a row, why don't we just lose 15 and draft somebody like, I don't know, Cam Ward?
Right, yeah, exactly. And also, it's not just Olave. You know, Rashid Shaheed has also been lost for the season, who I think is Raheem right. was mentioning right there. They've got more receivers.
He was talking about. Is Olave going to play today?
No, you're right. He's been out. Yeah. He is out today, and I do think that Olave is likely to be out for quite some time after suffering a second concussion in relatively short order, and hopefully that he can come back from that. Honestly, but anyway, they're going to be out with. So they're out without those top two receivers. Then they're without also Cedric Wilson, who's going to be out today. They're basically down their top three receivers, and it's very hard to win in this league when you don't have those passing options. And they do have Taysom Hill back, and the Falcons certainly have to be aware of him. I'm sure they're going to try to use him to the greatest extent possible, which for a Falcons team can spell a lot of trouble because he has been a player that has just been such a craw on their side. But, ultimately, this Falcons offense should be able to put up some points against the Saints defense and make the Saints have to put the ball in the air and try to gain ground quickly. And if that's the case, then again, to talk about that pass rush, like we were saying, you would think they're going to have their opportunities to get home today. But for the Falcons, it's about maintaining that kind of control of the game and the game state the way that you want. And that starts with, you know, getting out to an early lead and forcing the Saints to prove something to their home fans and try to come back from behind. But, it's certainly a tall test for them when you look at all the players they're going to be missing in this game and in the games to come.
Taking over as an assistant coach, as an interim head coach for a team that's struggling is a difficult assignment. And who knows that better than Raheem Morris when he did it here. So Raheem knows exactly what Darren Rizzi's going through as an interim head coach because he did it for when Falcons fired Dan Quinn. So he totally understands this. And you get that kind of new coach smell, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's the one thing that you have to kind of be, we got to show out for the new coach. And who knows what the internals are like, Joe, inside the locker room. Like at your workplace, if you, I don't know if you like your boss or don't like your boss, but let's say you don't like your boss and you like the other guy who's below the boss. If you come into work and the boss has been fired, you get a little bit kind of, at least for a little while, you get a little jolt. Hey, good.
Right.
Yeah, boss has been fired, right? So
for sure.
And I'm not saying that that's the case with Dennis Allen, but if it is, you know, who knows?
I think it sounds like it was, honestly. It didn't seem like he had a lot of support from that locker room, or at least some of the former players who stuff been going around on social media. Obviously, Mike Thomas kind of spearheading that with a bunch of crazy tweets like he tends to do. But, listen, I fully expect the Saints to come out playing with their hair on fire for this guy. It does seem, and this is kind of, you come across this with special teams coaches. He's kind of like an emotional leader on that staff. And like you said, if you're the Saints and you did feel like you needed to come to the point where you had to let go of your coach, who would you be replacing him with? You're probably going to be looking for, well, who can lead this team emotionally through the rest of the year? Like you said, they're down so bad right now, having lost seven in a row, down in the dumps. You need somebody who's going to be able to kind of galvanize some sort of effort out of the group. And so that's who I expect Darren Rizzi to be for this team. And he was kind of involved in a lot of the scuffle that happened at the end of that game last year down in the Superdome, where Arthur Smith was you know, rightfully upset with the way that that game ended. And Rizzi was right there giving it back to him. So that's the kind of fire I kind of expect him to bring to this team. And certainly it does create a wild card in effect for this game today, where there's just another element that I don't know if there's anything you can do to actually prepare for, but I'm sure that he will have some tricks up his sleeve tactically to try to throw a wrinkle into this game that the Falcons aren't expecting, and the Falcons just got to be ready for whatever he throws at them.
By the way, if you don't think an interim coach, Wait For Tailgate Show ahead of the Falcons and Saints with John and Joe, if you don't think an interim coach with a kind of sketchy roster can make a big difference, I point you to last night in Miami and Rob Valentino with Atlanta United. My God. Now, you can't tell me, Joe, just for 30 seconds, you can't tell me that wasn't shocking that Messi and Suarez are out by Atlanta United's hand and that Rob Valentino isn't the full-time coach. You can't tell me that.
Oh, I cover Atlanta United, and it was absolutely shocking, especially when you consider where this team was a month ago. But yeah, I mean, what a job by Rob Valentino and his coaching staff and the players and everybody to do what they did. Truly the unthinkable. I mean, that upset was statistically record-breaking in so many ways. Man, glorious, glorious. But you're totally right that's what this Falcons team has to be ready for, is they have to be ready for a Saints team that's going to fight tooth and nail with them in this game, because it's not only playing for an interim, but, you know, like we know that this rivalry is, and you know, they're going to play up that aspect of it to the fullest extent. And so the Falcons players have to be ready to bring that same kind of intensity back at them.
No, I'm glad that Arthur Blank is getting some results finally on both fronts.
Yeah.
Let's see if his football team can continue to be as impressive as his soccer club has been. When we get back in a moment, we'll look around the NFL for this week and more as we count down to kickoff in the swamp between the Falcons and Saints. Hate Week on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We're challenging everybody. If you're going to get out there and beat us, you're going to have to beat us, you know?
Back to the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. The Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is presented by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and is brought to you in part by Hatfield Pork Products, the W Sauce, and Shake Shack.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Wade Ford Tailgate Show, 1 o'clock kick down in the swamp today. Falcons and Swampers Hate Week. As we take you to 11 o'clock in the network, we'll join the network at 11. Chris Goforth and Mike Johnson on the pregame show. Wes and Dave on the call of the game from down at the Caesar Salad Bowl down there. A look around the NFL now. This look around the NFL is brought to you by Hatfield. Hatfield says put some pork on your fork. And indeed, we got a lot of meat to chew over here, Joe Patrick. NFL's week 10 began Thursday night. Ravens hold off the Bengals 35-34 in that 2-point conversion in a game that featured, Joe, there were great plays on both sides of the ball. There were also some very, what the hell is that call from the referees?
Yeah. Game certainly mired in controversy, but man, what an exciting game to watch with points flowing. It kind of felt like that Falcons Bucks game, you know, that just high scoring. Neither of these defenses could do much against these offenses, and man, the Ravens look like one of the best teams in football. Lamar Jackson is just absolutely incredible right now.
Yeah, he is incredible, and some people saying odds on favor for the MVP at the moment. Well, we'll see how this kind of plays out, you know, because the Lions are so good, and you know, there's Mahomes, and they don't have a loss, so we'll see how this kind of all
somehow
plays out here.
John, somehow they don't have a loss. Like it's so weird because the Chiefs,
I know, right?
They don't look.
They could be 5-4,
good. Right? Exactly. There's so many teams that were, you know, just an inch from beating them, it seems like. And even teams that were down, a lot of players, like the Bucks were last week, obviously, without those receivers. And, man, they just keep squeaking away with it. They keep getting away with it. We can't let them keep getting away with it, John.
Well, we can take care of that down in New Orleans in February.
That's true.
Right?
That's true.
You know, that's right. Exactly. there's a game going on right now that's actually the NFL is starting to sponsor games. This game between the New York Giants and the Carolina Panthers is sponsored by Milton Bradley today, which is interesting. Well, it's actually sponsored by the board game that Milton Bradley makes called Sorry. It's called the Sorry Munich Bowl.
Well done. Well done. Oh, man.
Oh, my
they
would, God. They,
if it were played anywhere else, they'd have to pay people to come watch. And so,
no kidding. This place is – and this place in Munich is packed. I mean, it's jammed.
It's just a cultural
for the
phenomenon.
The Giants and the Panthers. It's like you want to pull up a side and say, German folk, it's not good.
Yeah, but you know – you know every uniform in the league is well represented at the game. You know, it's just a it's a basically a football festival, and it just so happens to be those two teams playing in front of them, which is, I was going to say eye candy. It's more just what they have to witness while they're drinking their lager.
Right, exactly. And, you know, and it's a – look, again, I've been trying to explain to some fans who don't want to hear me out when I say there's going to be a division in your ears, okay? Mm. There's just going to be, there's going to be two teams in London. There will be arch rivals like they are in New York. There's going to be a team in Munich and a team in Berlin. You know, that's how they're going to start. And I'm just telling you, it's going to happen. The money is just too great for these owners to sell four expansion franchises at whatever they're going to sell it for and put it in with the television rights going up with, you know, all the European market. Oh, no, it's just way too much money not to have teams there. So this is all just, you know, this is why they play so many games over there. This is why they do it. Mm. Not because
they're not doing it for nothing.
Cool.
Yeah, right.
All right, so that game, by the way, is scoreless between these two. That's not a shock.
yeah, well, needless to say, the game is scoreless right now.
Needless to say, the game is scoreless. We'll update you if there's any update between now and the end of the show.
Still.
1 o'clock today, the Bucks. We're keeping our eyes. CMC is back for the Niners today in Tampa. That's what I hear. I don't know how effective he's going to be. Are you hearing he's going to play or no? Is it game time?
Sounds like he's going to play. I mean, that's the last I've heard is that he's going to play. So we'll see.
Well, the Bucks are 4-5, and the Falcons are technically three games ahead of them, two up in real terms of games, and, of course, all the tiebreakers. So could the Falcons end up by the end of the day being four up and effectively put the division away? Let's hope it kind of works out that way. Also in the 1 o'clock window, the Patriots are at the Bears. Bears trying to kind of get their feet back underneath them. The Bills are at the Colts after the Colts finally made a quarterback change there in Indianapolis. And the Bills, Joe, the Bills are a team you got to – are they a Super Bowl? You know, they had those four, right? God help them, I went to two of them. can they make it back to the Super Bowl? Is this a team that looks like it's Super Bowl ready?
I mean, it's funny because I would have said, like, I keep on wanting to say no, but then they play games and they're kind of undeniable with just the results that they're getting. And even they're 7-2. Their only two losses this year at Baltimore and at Houston, two, you know, just tough places to play. And it's really incredible what the Bills have done considering the situation they were in. You know, really, even in this offseason where they were having to cut, you know, former Pro Bowlers and things like that, and they've just been able to, you know, restock the shelves with quality talent that isn't not necessarily household names right now, but, you know, Josh Allen is making it all work, and he's probably having one of the best years of his career, maybe the best year of his career so far, just given the lack of weapons that he has had prior to this year. It's really, really impressive to watch them perform.
Also in the 1 o'clock window, the Broncos, surprise team with Sean Payton at 5-4, and we will see them and Bo Nix next week. They are at the Chiefs at 8-0. You know, the Broncos beat them. They're going to come into Atlanta on a high, so.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, aren't we in? We're in Denver.
It'll be in Denver. Yeah. So that's going to be a tough game regardless.
They'll go back home on a high. So
that's right.
Not sure I want that to happen. Steelers are at the Commanders. We could use a little help there, Pittsburgh. Just a little help.
This is a really good game. Such a contrast of styles and the strengths of those teams, where the Commanders are this kind of high flying, young, energetic team, and the Steelers are this, you know, stalwart defense, tons of veteran experience on that side of the ball. So for that reason, I'm kind of interested to see how that one plays out. Who comes out on top?
Vikings at the Jaguars, also a 1 o'clock game. 4 o'clock window today includes the Titans at the Chargers in Los Angeles. The Eagles are at the Cowboys. When Dak went off the field, you know, if you haven't heard the update, his hamstring tore off the bone. I mean, that at his age, you know, and the amount of money that they put into him, that could be like 2026 before we see him.
Yeah, he's going to be out for the rest of the year. And, man, that is a bad situation the Cowboys are in now. When your starting quarterback, who, like you just mentioned, John, you just paid all that money to, and he's not going to be on the field really, not even just like for this season, but just to kind of help this offense and the players kind of build that repertoire and just kind of get in a better feel and just be that leader of the team, for him to not be there. CeeDee Lamb, they obviously signed to a big contract too, and now it just feels like they're kind of, because of a lot of it, because of this injury that you just mentioned, like they're kind of mired in, I don't know what, but it's not a situation you want to be in if you're the Cowboys. It just feels like they're going to be a mediocre football team now for the next several years. That's how it feels to me.
Either game in the 4 o'clock window, the Jets are at the Cardinals. Cardinals are like the Broncos, kind of a surprise team. Cardinals are 5-4,
actually leading that
possibly
division.
Possibly leading, making their way into the NFL playoffs. 8:20 tonight, really good game in Houston. Lions and the Texans. And Joe, we could really use the Texans to win this game, because if our focus starts turning to, you know, the Commanders, who we this is like out of mouse in my pocket. The Falcons do play the Commanders, but we could use a little bit of help from the Steelers. We don't play the Lions, so we could use a real help from the Texans here tonight to beat the Lions. If by week 15, 16, your goal really shifts to trying to become the number one seed.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. There should definitely be a rooting interest for Falcons fans in this one for that reason alone. And John, I'm just looking at the Lions schedule. Like, listen to how this schedule ends. They got games against Chicago, Green Bay, Buffalo, Chicago again, San Francisco, and then Minnesota. That is a tough 6-game stretch to end the year. Chicago is obviously not the Chicago of old. I don't think they're a great team, but they're at least dangerous with some of the pieces they have, especially offensively. So, it would be nice if the Lions could pick up that second loss even now before they get into that stretch. It would help the Falcons a lot if the Texans can get this one done tonight.
Monday Night Football, the Dolphins are in Los Angeles against the Rams, which sounded like a good idea at the time they made the schedule, but not so much anymore. And then there are four teams that have byes: the Packers, the Browns, the Raiders, and the Seahawks. Joe, by the way, I should update this. The Panthers, to the delight of the three Panthers fans in the stands, have scored on a Bryce Young touchdown pass.
Wow.
And lead the New York Giants 7-0 in the Munich Bowl. So Panthers are on top in that game. Joe, I look at the Falcons here today, and I don't want to jump ahead, but I'm going to just for a moment. Falcons here today, we talked about the Broncos playing at the Chiefs, and then they go to Denver next week, which is always interesting, against, you know, Sean Payton. So they play the Swappers, then they play Sean Payton. Okay. And then they get to the bye. If you can somehow manage to just bailing wire, whatever, put this together so you win both of these games and get to the bye. The other part of this is, and we'll get into the injury report at the top of the hour, is getting into the bye. If you can, what is the NFL if not a war of attrition, right?
Right.
We just talked about Dak Prescott, right? Mm-hmm. If you can get to the bye and not get anybody else injured here, you know, split the games, win both, somehow or another, you're four games up on Tampa or something like that, and you're relatively healthy and you're getting your guys back in the bye for the final push of the year. That's all I can ask for as a Falcons fan. Yeah. It literally is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you would have been, you know, biting someone's hand off at the beginning of the season if they were to have offered you that kind of setup for where this Falcons team is right now. So really incredible and testament to their hard work. But on the injury situation, it's interesting because, and I know, like you said, we're going to talk about it more at the top of the hour, the injuries for both teams. But I feel like Raheem Morris and the club in general has taken a more conservative approach to managing the players through some of these things. Drake London, Grady Jarrett, both removed from the game last week as kind of precautionary measures. Maybe Grady a little bit more precautionary than Drake was. But it seems like the Falcons are really kind of geared towards winning that battle of attrition, kind of knowing that, you know, their true goals are not happening right now or can't be attained this week necessarily. It's more of what can we do at the end of the season, especially if we're hosting a home playoff game. And so I think it's been really smart the way they've kind of handled some of these injuries. And as everyone will hear when we go through the injury report, the Falcons are in a lot better shape than the Saints are. Not that you can necessarily control injuries to that extent, but I just think that they've done a really good job in that respect, even to the point where Raheem Morris didn't even put him through a practice this Wednesday on normally a big practice day. They just did a walkthrough, and I think that speaks to the confidence that he has in the group and their professionalism to kind of be able to use that as a work day still while not taking that kind of grueling punishment that you normally would.
Yeah, I was just, I didn't mean to jump in. I was just about to ask you that, you know, because I saw the reports that you had, and yeah, this Wednesday walkthrough, is that going to become a thing?
It does sound like it will become a thing. Not every Wednesday, but it sounds like it's something that they are going to go to every once in a while. And again, I think that, and he said that this one was kind of pre-planned. I think that the future ones will be pre-planned as well. And they're not going to, you know, tell us what they are. But I think that that planning speaks to, some forethought being put into this as to managing workload levels, you know, that workload management, thing that's become very frustrating in the NBA, but in football, I think it's very, very reasonable to try to lessen the burden on these players, especially during the week, so that at least on Sundays they can be in as best shape as possible and ready to win.
Well, I think it also speaks to the bigger picture long term. They're saying, well, you know, it's not just a 17-game season for us. We see that it's at least an 18-game. It may be a 19-game. Who knows, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're starting to project out here, which is why once we get back from the bye, once the Falcons get back from the bye, if you start to see them, you know, oh, okay, we can relax. We sold it the division away. No, the Falcons got to get the number one seed. They want that other bye.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they want to get, you know, I mean, and if they have a shot to get it, you just mentioned the Lions schedule. If they have a shot at the number one seed, you know, in week 16 or so, they're going to go after it.
Mm-hmm. And, John, like, if you have Desmond Ridder as your quarterback, you probably can't afford to, like, just do a walkthrough on a Wednesday. And, you know, but that's the luxury that having a quarterback like Kirk Cousins affords this team and this coaching staff is gives them a lot more flexibility and options into how to handle these situations because they know that he's going to lead this group and they're going to be able to get their work done.
It is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. John Fricke, Joe Patrick. Another hour closer to kickoff down in the swamp with Wes and Dave. Falcons and Saints, it is Hate Week on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.